Welcome to your KSDP radio show featuring
King Mac
and Penguin Woo! Feet. For this week's radio show, it was gonna be a little bit different. For this week, I'm going to be telling you top 10s. And to start off, I'm going to tell you the top 10 fashion designers. Starting with number 10 is Elsa Schiaparelli. This Italian designer was known for her love of surrealistic art, and she used this influence to great effect in her offbeat, irrelevant design. She is also known as the inventor of a bright pink shade known as shocking pink. And number 9 is Christian Dior. He was born on January of 1905. This French designer was best known for his distinctive new look silhouette, first shown in 1947. His suits and dresses revolutionized the way women dressed after the Second World War. And number 8 is Roy Halston Frohick. Roy Halston Frohick, better known as Halston, was an Iowa native who was born in 1932. His most famous designs were fluid, silky, and sexy. They became a symbol of 1970s disco culture with all of its freedom and cadence. And number 7 is Calvin Klein. Like Halston, Calvin Klein epitomized disco glamour in the freewheeling late 70s. His tight designer jeans, which clung to the sleek bodies of the greatest beauties of the day, including the young Brooke Shields, cemented his fame and made him millions of dollars. However, Calvin Klein's reign continued well into the 80s and 90s. His spare, stripped-down designs offered a minimalist perspective that carried a very modern message. The use of sexuality in his ads was often a keystone of his success. His campaigns were designed to send overt messages and perhaps to shock. Today, his empire is still strong despite some turbulence in the late 90s. His suits, dresses, and coats sure still offer a unique viewpoint. Number 6 is Ralph Lauren. Born Ralph Lifshitz in 1939, this Bronx native changed his last name as a young man due to years of cruel teasing from schoolmates. He was known to remark when he questioned about his birth name and why he changed it. In the 80s, Ralph Lauren really became a force to be reckoned with, as his signature polo shirts with their ubiquitous polo pony and rider became coveted items for many different demographics. Available in every color and rainbow, they lined his coffers and allowed him to put more money into his glamorous women's wear lines. He especially enjoyed producing kosher pieces and overseeing glossy runway shoes. Number 5 is Gianni Versace. One moment. Flamboyant and so very Italian, Gianni Versace was born in December of 1946 in Reggio di Calabria, Italy. Gianni's mother owned a tiny tailoring shop, and she supported her children through her sewing. The young Versace watched and learned as a boy, adapting techniques that he would put to exemplary use later on. After years spent helping his mother embroider and tailor garments, he decided to study architecture. By the time he was 26, he changed directions again. He knew that fashion would be his life's work. And Versace moved to Milan to pursue his dreams. Number 4 is Valentino Garavani. Valentino Garavani, better known as Valentino, was born in northern Italy in 1932. From childhood, he was interested in fashion, and he pursued apprenticeships and training from family and local designers. By his late teens, he was ready for Paris. His parents helped him move there, and when he arrived, he began to study art and design in preparation for his chosen career. Number three is Giorgio Armani, another Italian designer with a unique vision. Giorgio Armani was born in 1936 in Piacenza, Italy. During his early years, he dabbled in different careers, including photography and medicine. Like Carlson, a stint as a window dresser at a department store opened up new horizons. Number two is Yves Saint Laurent. Born in Algeria in 1936, Yves Henry Donat Mathieu Saint Laurent's gifts were apparent from a young age. After winning third prize in an important contest held by the International Wool Secret Tape, he made his way to Paris and met the French Vogue's editor, who was very impressed with the innate talent of Yves Saint Laurent. Shortly thereafter, he began to work closely with Christian Dior, who was nearing the end of his life. Dior recognized the skill and creativity of his young protege, and he chose him as a successor. When Dior died of a heart attack, Saint Laurent found himself holding the reins of one of France's most venerable fashion houses. He was only 21 years of age. Number one, Coco Chanel. Born in August of 1883, Gabrielle Chanel was a French native who was destined to liberate women from the constraints of corsets and other unforgettable garments. A true rebel and visionary, Chanel, who changed her name to Coco after a brief career as a singer, preferred to wear clothes she could move freely in. Often her style were imbued with a mannish aesthetic. Indeed, Coco Chanel, who had designed her first cardigan to avoid pulling any garment over her head, was really the originator of modern women's sportswear. Her desire for freedom and self-expression gave women style without sacrifice. And that's about all the top 10 I know about fashion designers. And we'll have more top 10 coming up after the song called How by the Cranberries. So here it comes.
Have known, I should have known before.
Next up, I'm going to tell you guys about the top 10 Ionic buildings, starting with number 10. Number 10 is Hagia Sophia. Built on the site of a 4th century church of which nothing remains, the Hagia Sophia has been a focal point in Istanbul ever since. The great church is now a museum, but it wasn't always so. For centuries, it served as a pillar of the Greek Orthodox Church and then as an Islamic mosque. The second church was destroyed by a fire during the Rica riots in 532. Although remnants of it can still be seen today, the Hagia Sophia that can be seen today was built between 532 and 537 and is one of the greatest surviving examples of Byzantine architecture. The biggest draw to the ancient church is the impressive 102-foot diameter dome, which reaches 182 feet into the sky. Other stunning characteristics of the Hagia Sophia are the countless mosaics and the lodge of the empress, the marble door, the sultan's lodge, and Mahmud I's library, and the marble jars. The church was... The first church was built on the spot where a pagan temple had stood by Emperor Constantine himself in 360. In 405, the second church was built by Constantine's son, Theodosius II. Third, the final Hagia Sophia was built by Justinian in 532. In 1453, Sultan Mehmet II conquered Constantinople and turned it into a mosque, and subsequent sultans have made various additions since then. The number 9th Ionic building is the Louvre. One of the most recognizable museums in the world, the Louvre's palace, the Louvre's palace, and the recently added glass pyramid are as beautiful to those who visit as the priceless work of art that it houses. But it wasn't always a museum. It was originally built in the 12th century as a museum, but in the 14th century it was converted into a royal residence. In 1750, Louis the Fourth turned it back into a royal museum to house parts of the royal collection. During the French Revolution, it underwent another transformation, this time the royal to public museum. Throughout the years, it has been added by Napoleon I and restored by Louis XIII. And important works as the Mona Lisa and the Venice di Milo. Number 8, the Burj Al Arab. In a city famous for its architecture, the Burj Al Arab defines the Dubai skyline. The newest building on a long list of architecture built on a grand scale, the Burj Al Arab was built in 1994 and is one of the most luxurious hotels in the world. Perched on a man-made island in the Persian Gulf, it was built to mimic the sail of a dough. The hotel features a 590-foot tall atrium, a large seawater aquarium, two restaurants, one of which was voted in the top 10 restaurants in the world by Condé Nast, and 202 luxuriously appointed suites. Who built it? The Burj Al Arab was designed by Tom Wright and built by Atkins for Jumeirah Hotels and Resorts. It is currently the second largest hotel in the world. Number 7 is Sydney Opera House. Rising out of the Sydney Harbour, the Sydney Opera House is not only the center of the arts scene in Australia, but also stands out as a must-see to anyone visiting the area. In the late 1940s, Eugene Goossens, the director of the NSW State Conservatorium of Music, lobbied for a new venue for large productions. 1955, a design competition was held by NSW Premier Joseph Cahill, and by 1958, construction had begun. The winning design features several concrete shells and houses, performance spaces like the concrete hall, the opera theater, the drama theater, the studio, the Olsen room, the forecourt, as well as recording studio, 5 restaurants, 4 souvenir shops, and a guided tour operation. Number 6 is the Empire State Building. Once the tallest building in the world, no film or television show set in New York is complete without including a shot of the Grand Art Deco skyscraper. Originally the site of the Waldorf Astoria, construction of the Empire State Building began on St. Patrick's Day, 1930. 410 days later, construction was finished and it won the title of the world's tallest building, surpassing both 40 Wall Street and the Chrysler Building, which were being built around the same time. The opening of the building coincided with the Great Depression, so it sat almost empty for the next 20 years. This wasn't the only challenge the building has had to face. There was a 1945 plane crash, shootings in 1997, and more than 30 suicides. Though it all, the Empire State Building has endured as a timeless monument of the New York City. The Empire State Building was designed by William F. Blum, based on the designs for the Reynolds Building in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and the Carew Tower in Cincinnati, Ohio. Because of this, the staff of the Empire State Building sends a Father's Day card to the staff of the Reynolds Building every year. The 5th building is the Taj Mahal. The crowning jewel of India, the Taj Mahal is a testament to one man's love for his wife. It looks like a palace, but it is actually built as a tomb for the emperor's favorite wife. Construction began 1 year after her death in 1632, and the mausoleum was completed in 1648, with surrounding buildings and gardens taking another 5 years to complete. The construction took 20,000 workers and craftsmen that were recruited from all across northern India. Soon after the Taj Mahal was completed, the emperor was deposed by his son Aurangzeb and put under house arrest. When the emperor died in 1658, he was buried beside his wife inside the Taj Mahal. During World War II, the Indian government erected scaffolding around the Taj to mislead German and Japanese bomber pilots. Today, the Taj Mahal is under a different threat. Acid rain and pollution from the Mathura oil refinery has begun to turn its white marble yellow. The 4th iconic building is the Eiffel Tower. Towering high above Paris, the Eiffel Tower was built between 1887 and 1889 and acted as the entrance arch of the Exposition Universelle, which marked the centennial of the French Revolution. The tower was only supposed to stand for 20 years, but it was a valuable communication tool and remained as an unmistaken element of the Paris skyline, especially as buildings in the city cannot surpass 7 stories. During the German occupation of Paris during World War II, the lift cabbies were cut, forcing German soldiers to climb the stairs to the top of the hoist, the swastika. Within hours of the liberation of Paris, the lifts were back in working order. The Eiffel Tower was designed by engineer Gustave Eiffel, who had originally submitted the design to Barcelona for the Universal Exposition in 1888, but they refused. The 3rd iconic building is called Big Ben. One of the world's most famous clocks, Big Ben is actually the name of one of the bells, but over the years it has to come to be used for both the clock and the tower as well. It was completed during the restoration of the Palace of Westminster in 1858. The tower stands 316 feet tall. Each clock face is 23 feet square with a 4-foot numbers, and the great bell is 7.5 feet tall and weighs 13 tons. Nobody knows exactly whom Big Ben is named after, but common theories include Sir Benjamin Hall, who oversaw the installation of the bell, or English heavyweight boxing champion Benjamin Count. Charles Barry designed Westminster Palace, however, Augustus Pugin created the clock tower. Pugin fell into madness and died in 1852, and Big Ben was the last building he would ever design. The clock itself was designed by Beckett Denshin. Number 2, the Colosseum. The largest Roman amphitheater ever built, the Colosseum is one of the greatest architectural features ever achieved by the ancient Romans. Construction between 70 and 72 AD and was finished in 80 AD. It was capable of seating 50,000 people and was usually used for gladiatorial games, but could also be used for public spectacles, mock sea battles, animal hunts, executions, reenactments of battles, and dramas based on classical mythology. During the medieval era, its entertainment purpose ended, and it has since been used as housing, workshops, a fortress, a quarry, quarters for a religious order, and a Christian shrine. Today, the Colosseum is one of the most popular tourist attractions in Rome and attracts thousands of visitors each year. And last but not least, ironic buildings, is the Giza Pyramids. The oldest buildings on this list, the pyramids on the Giza Plateau, have intrigued mankind for centuries. Not only have they stood the test of time, but the accuracy with which they were built is impressive, even by today's standards. They were built as tombs for three separate pharaohs during the 3rd and 4th dynasty. It is also the only surviving wonder of the ancient world and was the tallest building in the world until 1300s, when it was surpassed by the Lincoln Cathedral. Despite their long history, or perhaps because of it, mysteries have swirled around the pyramid since they were found by the ancient Greeks thousands of years ago. How were they built? How many people worked on the project? How long did the construction take? What was the Egyptians' understanding of astronomy, mathematics, and geography? And even crazy questions like, did aliens help in their construction? While these questions go unanswered, all we are left to do is marvel at a culture who were master builders, even before the invention of the wheel. Who built it? The oldest and largest of the three pyramids was built by Khufu between 2551 and 2531 BC. The second was built by Khufu's grandson, Khafre, between 2558 and 2532 BC. And the third pyramid belongs to Khafre's son, Menkaure. And despite not knowing the exact date of the construction, many believe that it was finished somewhere around 2490 BC, several years after his death. And that was about all of the top 10 ironic buildings. Next up, I think we have time for 2 songs at least, and they will be called How Can You Mend a Broken Heart by Al Green and Goodnight Sejeon by Billy Joel. So here they come.
Younger days when I lived for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see tomorrow. I was never told. fall down. Tell me,
how can you stand?
Oh, shining. What makes the world go can a loser ever win? Memories of days gone by, but we could never see tomorrow. Would you believe that no one ever told us about the sorrow? So
it's just not alright. It's just not alright. Tell me how to fix this rain.
And mine is. Mm-hmm. How can you stop the rain from falling?
How can you stop the sun from shining? How can you stop the rain from falling down?
The world
go around.
And sometimes I'm the same.
Stop the rain
falling
now.
I'm sorry about that. I actually told you the wrong name of the song. This next song is not called Goodnight Sagin' by Billy Joel. It's called No Women, No Cry by Bob Marley. So here it comes.
Thank you.
For my next top 10, I'm going to tell you the top 10 greenest countries. Starting with number 10. Number 10 is Colombia. 76.8. European countries dominate the EPI list, and Colombia is one of the few countries from the Americas green enough to rank. While you may not hear too many news stories about Colombia, you may have heard all about the deforestation and that was going on in the country due to oil palm plantations, as well as those who were illegally selling coca through the country. Because of this, the country was starting to become known for its violence and political strife. But somehow, Colombia has taken the negative as a learning lesson and begun to turn things around for the better country, as well as the earth. Number two is Cuba, which is 78.1. Though many don't agree with the communist government leading Cuba, those who are urging people to become environmentally friendly just may have a warm spot in their heart for the Cuban government. Despite being known as a government that demands full control, it seems as though that stronghold has been weakened and that the government has decided to focus a lot of attention on the many ways of transforming the country into one that is greener. Cuba has never been a country that has been extremely harsh to the environment. Most who live in the country either travel by bicycle or foot, and many make their money by selling crops and raising livestock. However, there have been times when illegal pesticides were used, as well as the land was abandoned. Number 8 greenest countries top 10 list is Austria, 78.1. Though Austria doesn't have many problems when it comes to being green and environmental friendly, they have found very unique ways to ensure that their country is going green. The 2010 Winter Olympics were just one place where Austria planted its green footprint. To the House, the Australian Olympic Committee, as well as several broadcasters, the country built a passive house in Whistler, BC. The passive house doesn't use cooling or heating systems. In fact, it's self-regulatory and is able to heat and cool when necessary. This happens through a system that was designed keeping air circulation, thermal heat, and high-efficiency windows in mind. It is said that these passive houses use only 10% of energy used in a common Canadian home, as now there are 17,000 of these homes built throughout Europe. Number 7 is France. France is earning a reputation as an eco-friendly country. France's president, Nicolas Sarkozy, has been pushing for legislation that will conserve energy as well as the environment. Some plans that Sarkozy has laid out include renovating all existing buildings to conserve energy, reducing greenhouse emissions by 20% in 2020, increasing the renewable energy rate from 9% to 20% to 25%, increasing organic farming, and creating an organization that will solely focus on reviewing and testing genetically modified crops. Along with all of this, sometime in the future, France plans to be home of a lot of nature reserves. Number 6 is Mauritius with 80.6. The country of Mauritius is an island off the coast of Africa and eastern Madagascar. Though not everyone has heard of this small country, Mauritius may make a bold impact when it comes to going green. Finance Minister Rama Sitanen has decided that now is the time to ensure that the island is eco-friendly and promotes green practices. For one, the country wants to focus on recycling and finding ways to reuse items. This includes burning solid waste instead of storing or dumping it somewhere. Sitanen also wants to rely on renewable and cleaner types of energy. Because of its location, Mauritius could probably make good use of the water it is surrounded by, especially by for air conditioning in homes and buildings. Number 5 is Norway, with greenness of 81.1. Number 4 is Sweden, with an 86.0 greenness. And while the rest of the world deals with continuously fluctuating oil prices, Sweden has decided to make things a little easier for the country and its people by making a plan to phase to phase out the use of fossil fuels by 2020. However, these efforts didn't just begin. The change really started in the 1980s during the oil crisis. Efforts towards this new 2020 goal have already started, and 28% of the energy and resources used in Sweden are renewable and eco-friendly. The country has really focused on the use of hydropower, nuclear power, and wind power to provide electricity and other necessities throughout Sweden. Number three is Costa Rica, with an 86.4 of greenness. Coming in at the third on the list, Costa Rica is a country that has a very set high goals in order to go green and stay that way. By 2021, Costa Rica hopes to be one of the few, if not the only country in the world that is carbon neutral. At this point in time, the country already utilizes plenty of renewable sources, which is very eco-friendly, as there are less greenhouse gases that are polluting the air and even the water. The country's location definitely acts as an advantage to them, as they don't have to worry about much heating homes, buildings, and seeing as how the country usually has temperatures ranging between 71 degrees and 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Number two is Switzerland, with an 89.1 greenness. And the last one is Iceland, with a 93.5 greenness. Said to be one of the most beautiful countries in the world, featuring glaciers, volcanoes, and even waterfalls, Iceland tops the list of being the greeniest country. Though a pretty small island, said to be the size of Kentucky, Iceland has found a new way to ensure that, despite its size, it would be making a huge impact on becoming eco-friendly. Because of its location, Iceland has focused on using its geothermal landscape to utilize a clean electricity and heat. The most commonly used source for heat and electricity is hydrogen, and the country hopes to become the first to be entirely reliant upon this energy source. Not only will the hydrogen energy be used by homeowners and those who occupy buildings, it is also used for transportation. The government of Iceland has provided hydrogen-powered businesses to ensure people can get to their destinations in an eco-friendly way. And I think that's about all the top tens we have for this week. I'm going to play two more songs, and then it'll be about time to wrap it up for this radio show. The first one will be Chicago by Chicago called Cell Block Tango. And the next song after that will be called White Wedding by Billy Idol. So here they come.
Lipschitz. And now, the six merry murderesses of the Cook County Jail in their rendition of The Cell Block Tango.
Lipschitz. So I said to him, I said, "You pop that gum one more time." And he did. So I took the shotgun off the wall and I fired two warning shots. into his head.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have heard it, I bet you would have done the same.
I met Ezekiel Young from Salt Lake City about 2 years ago, and he told me he was single, and we hit it off right away. So we started living together. He'd go to work, he'd come home. I'd fix him a drink, we'd have dinner. And then I found out. Single, he told me. Single my ass. Not only was he married, oh no, he had 6 wives. One of those Mormons, you know? So that night when he came home from work, I fixed him his drink, as usual. You know, some guys just can't hold their arsenic.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He took a power in his pride. And then he used it. And he abused it. It was a murder, but not a heart.
Now I'm standing in the kitchen, carving up the chicken for dinner. Minding my own business, in storms my husband Wilbur in a jealous rage. You've been screwing the milkman, he says. He was crazy, and he kept on screaming, "You've been screwing the milkman!" And then he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times.
If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I bet you would have done the same.
Meet Kirishikeri. Ось мені якоє хірошло кумлєфа к тому фєрімін. Ін ми глєші б тому фєєн. Та не ми гос. І нар тут лом войок. Нем тудом. Мертмоня анкл сам хок ін танцам. Пробол том. Аренда шенген мег моя разні. Ті намір татик мег.
Yeah, but did you do it?
Not guilty.
My sister Veronica and I had this double act, and my husband Charlie traveled around with us. Now, for the last number in our act, we did these 20 acrobatic tricks in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, splits, spread eagles, backflips, flip-flops, one right after the other. So this one night before the show, we're down at the Hotel Cicero, the three of us boozing, having a few laughs. And we ran out of ice, so I go out to get some. I come back. Open the door. And there's Veronica and Charlie doing number 17. The spread eagle. Well, I was in such a state of shock. I completely blacked out. I can't remember a thing. It wasn't until later, when I was washing the blood off my hands, I even knew they were dead.
They had it coming.
They had it coming.
They had it coming.
Lipschitz more than I could possibly say. He was a real artistic guy. Sensitive. A painter. But he was always trying to find himself. He'd go out every night looking for himself, and on the way, he found Ruth, Gladys, Rosemary, and Irving. I guess you could say we broke up because of artistic differences. He saw himself as alive, and I saw him dead.
The dirty bomb, 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 bomb.
Number 17, the spread eagle.
Differences.
Pop.
6. Squish.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
sister shotgun. Oh yeah, hey little sister shotgun. It's a really nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Oh. Hey, little sister, who is it you're with? Hey, little sister, what's your vice or wish? Who have you sold yourself to? Who have you sold your soul to? Hey, little sister shotgun, it's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. Hey, it's a nice day to start again.
Silk shedding, vice a trowel.